Good morning. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to the search for truth and beauty. I'm Reverend Carrie Holly Hurt. I'm the assistant minister here. I use she, her pronouns, and it truly is a joy to be with you all today. I especially want to welcome you if you're new to the congregation. And if you're joining us remotely and are able to do so, please say hello in the comments and let us know where you're coming from. If you're here in person, please join us for coffee in Housen Hall. Either way, we invite you to fill out the visitors form at austinuu.org. Simply click on worship, which will then show you a link to the form. We would love to get to know you better. Whether you are visiting, new to the church, or a longtime participant in this religion community, you're welcome here. You belong here. Now, this is y'all's favorite part. We come from the long tradition of seeing the divine in each and every one of us. It is in that tradition that I invite you to greet the holy among you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is E. Sizek, and I'm your lay leader today. Please join me in the words by which we light our chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship is River Call by Reverend Manish K. Mishra Marzetti. Between rocking the boat and sitting down, between stirring things up and peaceably going along, we find ourselves here in community, each called from many different journeys, many different life paths onto this river road. Some are here because the rocking of the boat has been too much tumult, too much uncertainty, too much pain. Some are here with questions about where the boat is going, how best to steer it, where this journey ends. Others are here as lovers of the journey, lovers of life itself. Here in front, beside, behind, each a passenger, each a captain, doing the best we can. Rest here in your boat with me, the river calls. Listen to how I flow, the sound of life coursing all around you. Let the current hold you. Let the current guide you. The river that gently flows through your soul whispers, come, let us worship.
Thank you.
One of the things that binds us together as a religious community is that we have a common purpose. For us, that common purpose is our mission. We wrote it together, and then we put it on our wall so that every Sunday we could say it together and hopefully in that carry it in our heart throughout the week. So let's say it together now. Together we nourish souls, transform lives, to do justice to the beloved community.
Our reading is by Reverend Ade A. Kraba this holiday season. Let this holiday season be a time for engaging heart to heart, for those who, like the innkeeper, turned us away, for holidays that didn't live up to our expectations, for ghosts of Christmas past that haunt us, for those who gave us gifts but never their presence, for gifts we yearned for but did not receive, for things we received but never wanted, for those who offered us cheer when we needed comfort, for those who offered us love that we could not accept, for those we rejected, offering no room in our homes or hearts, for ourselves who could not give through fear, for the times we saw a star in the east but failed to follow it, for times we followed the star, but it did not lead where we hoped, for miracles gone unnoticed, for wise men and women whose gifts we rejected, all these we remember, we forgive, we love. In doing so, may we be granted an abiding peace.
This is the time in our service where we enjoy some silence together, where we breathe together, and in breathing together, we sense one another's loving presence. As we breathe in and out, slowing our minds, we follow our breath to that deeper place, a place of greater wisdom, place of divine love, a place of peace. Breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence, remembering that human sounds are holy too. And as we enter into the silence, we hold those in our heart who are ill or in sorrow. We hold Lynn Vaughn, who is mourning the loss of her husband. We hold the students, the faculty, the staff, and all the loved ones of those at Brown University. And even in all that sorrow, we make space for joy, for holding your joy. As the music plays, feel free to light some candles, but let's keep an attitude of silence even after the music ends. One last candle for all those who have no one to light a candle for them. P peace, peace, when there is no peace. So we are in the season of Advent, which is convenient because there are 4 weeks with themes. We are asked to dwell on hope and faith and joy and peace. Not us necessarily, but, you know, it does make my job a little bit easier. So back into September, when I'm trying to put down on the calendar what I'm going to preach, I think peace. Because honestly, that sounded like a really easy lift. But of course, the universe said, huh, that's cute. You see, every time I thought of the sermon, my brain went straight to that scripture from the Hebrew Bible, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's from the book of Jeremiah. And poor Jeremiah, he had the misfortune of being the prophet who had to tell Judah, hey, you got to change your ways or the Babylonians are coming for you, which is exactly what happened. 40 years of exile, the temple destroyed. And of course, Jeremiah was a prophet, so no one was listening to him, so he was pretty cranky. Or maybe he was cranky, so no one listened to him. I love a prophet, but they do have a reputation. But of course, we can't really blame them or him for his crankiness. A prophet's just someone who is observing the world around them, putting two and two together, and saying the uncomfortable truth. So I get cranky. I think a lot of us who watched 2025 roll out, even when they told us, oh, it would never happen, might be feeling a little bit cranky right now. I'm cranky. I'm cranky, and I have to preach about peace. Lord, help us all. And of course, my cranky is heightened by this holiday season. It's kind of a whiplash. One minute I am reading and seeing images of violence and destruction, of people being stolen off of our streets. And the next minute, Mariah Carey is crooning her Christmas list at me. She wants you, by the way. There is tinsel and holiday ads, and the state is kidnapping people and separating families, and doing it at such a rate that they've had to create at least 3 Tinder-age detention centers in South Texas alone. Those are detention centers for children and babies. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, there is a part of me that has gladly taken on that annual, seasonal, part-time job of creating Christmas magic for my family. There's a real big part of me that's getting giddy about next week's no rehearsal Christmas pageant. It's the best. And there's a part of me that just wants to have a meltdown. He wants to scream at Mariah, stop gaslighting me. All is not holly and jolly, in fact. It's the disconnect. It's this disconnect between the reality of what is happening and this yearly pressure to perform the trappings of the holiday. It's whiplash and it's making me cranky. And I think maybe that's what Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was feeling when he wrote that poem that we sang earlier. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. He wrote that poem in 1863. He was grieving the loss of his wife, who had died tragically. He was scared for his son's life, who had gone off to battle without his consent and been horribly injured. And he, like everyone else, was 2 years into a brutal and bloody civil war. And so when he heard those bells ringing like they always ring, he had his own meltdown. There is no peace on earth. Hate is strong and it mocks the notion of peace. He was calling it out. He was lamenting. He was pointing out that things are not okay, and to assume otherwise is wild. Yes, Longfellow, I am with you. I feel that lament. I feel that urge to call it out. And I am so thankful that my faith and my religion support me in doing just that. One of the most beautiful and humanizing things about Unitarian Universalism is our ability to be human and our encouragement to do so with our eyes wide open. Our religion encourages us to look past the illusion and the delusion of the times we live in, to even look past our own limited experience of the world so that we can understand what's happening, so that we can fully embody interdependence, so that we can embody transformative justice, and even so we can lament the pain and the violence and the hurt. And by doing so, we might build our hope on a vision for a world that we're working towards, not the one we're being sold. I love that about us. I can't imagine being more in alignment than to stay awake to the world, to have empathy for those who are suffering, and then to allow that to flow into our values, which will then flow into a response. And let's be honest, that's hard. To open ourselves up to the pain of the world, that's hard. To open ourselves up to caring about others, especially others we don't know, it's hard. And in a society that is so tailored for individualism, it can be isolating. For some of us, we feel personally attacked by pop stars. But I think it is in this struggle to stay aware, that inevitably will lead us to lament, which allows us to move more deeply into our spirituality and to the peace that that brings. In Longfellow's poem, we see a condensed version of this move from lament to peace. First, he allows himself to lament, to say, "No Christmas, you will not gaslight me. I know things are bad. The world is on fire and your bells are ringing." But then, as the 19th century Unitarian that he was, he finds his peace. He finds his peace in his faith. He asserts that his belief that the wrong will fail, that the right will prevail, that peace will come. For him, his hope is that God is acting in this world. Some of you might resonate with that. It's the perfect time of the year for it. When I put on my Unitarian Universalist translator, I resonated with it. Part of the connective tissue that ties our pluralist community together is that there is something. There is something that holds us and guides us, and it is the source of our peace. For Christians, this peace is the salvation that Jesus brings. For me, it is the message that is told over and over again and is contained in the story of Jesus. That's what gives me peace. That love cannot be killed. And that when we act out of love, when we act in solidarity, we can move mountains. It is the peace that the beloved community is something that we work for, because we expect it to happen eventually, but also in working for it, we bring it down into the lives of people we know in the here and now, and even those we don't. And maybe all of that is orchestrated by God or gods or goddesses or the universe or spirit, or maybe it's just us. Maybe the assurance comes because of the prayers that we make with our own hands and our own feet, the prayers we make with our action. The beautiful and sometimes baffling thing about our religion, if you've had to explain it to anyone, is that we don't agree on the force behind it. But it is part of our DNA to believe that there is something. And that something will enable us to bend that moral arc towards justice. Something that tells us that evil will not long endure. It is something that gives us a knowing that it's what helps us to get that peace. A peace that can and does exist even in the chaos. A peace even when there is no peace. It is the peace at the center of us, so deep that the storm cannot touch it, but close enough to our heart to guide us and to move us into action, to make us brave enough to keep our eyes open to all the world's suffering. I'm curious what that is for you. What is it that both holds you and awakens you to the world? What gives you that peaceful assurance, the hope that our work is not in vain? We do not hold our values in vain. What gives you peace when there is no peace? For me, there is peace in living in alignment with my values. There is peace in staying aware of what is happening. And there is even peace in the lament because it means that I am connected. And my peace comes from the assurance that that arc will bend, and it will bend toward justice. Please join me in the words by which we extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again. Our benediction comes from Reverend Abi Jenemy. May all beings be safe and free from harm. May all live in peace and in wholeness of body and mind and spirit. May courage arise where there is fear and compassion where there is pain. May those behind walls know they are not forgotten. And may the work of justice be guided by love. Peace within, peace among, peace for all. Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.